Thank you for listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Right now, coming up for you, we've got a special treat. We have the Hightower Report in Workers' Independent News.
Armed with hefty grants from the Pentagon, squads of corporate and governmental food technologists are on a mission to supplant nature with a great leap forward in the brave new world of synthetic foodstuffs. Not satisfied merely to tinker with genetic re-engineering of nature's products, these mad scientists have a godlike goal of, quote, creating new food, assuming that God is a supernatural robotic being with a wicked sense of humor and not enough real work to do. Who will eat the stuff? Soldiers are to be the first lucky consumers. Lynn Oleksik, team leader of this operation at the U.S. Army's Natick Soldier Research Center, explains that battleground troops will be outfitted head-to-toe with electronic sensors that'll constantly monitor their essential biochemical levels, sending info about any imbalances to computer software attached to a 3D printer, which will be part of each individual soldier's field gear. Low on potassium? No problem. Quote, we envision to have a 3D printer that is interfaced with the soldier, says Oleksik. Then they would be able to have either powdered or liquid matrices printed out on demand that they can take and eat immediately to fill that need. Yes, a potassium patty. It's synthesized on the spot from various oils and powders and printed out as a sort of food-like edible. Yum! Well, not really, for taste and texture are still futuristic concepts. But still, instantly printed food is upon us, an ungodly high-tech hallelujah moment. This is Jim Hightower saying, these tech deities are targeting soldiers first, but then us. With world population exploding and climate change endangering old-fashioned agriculture, they say that printed-out nutrition is our future. As one of them ominously put it, we eventually have to change our perception of what food is.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Food bins to collect food for Walmart workers have reappeared as we head toward Black Friday. A photo from a Walmart store in Oklahoma shared on social media shows a food bin to collect food donations for the store's workers. Indiana Walmart workers say bake sales are being organized at a store there to encourage workers to contribute to help fellow workers put food on their tables. This spectacle of food drives for Walmart workers inside Walmart stores speaks louder than any words could about the morality and social justice, or lack of it, in working for the world's largest retailer owned by a family of billionaires and still not being able to buy enough food. The report from Oxfam America says millions of Americans are struggling to provide enough food due to persistent low wages. Americans for Tax Fairness says Walmart's low wages are costing taxpayers $6.2 billion a year in public assistance for Walmart workers. Just one member of the ultra-rich Walton family that owns Walmart could pay that entire $6.2 billion tab this year and still have more than $33 billion left over. Long Island University is playing hardball with 225 clerical workers represented by OPEIU Local 153. The university wants them to agree to greater health insurance costs while only offering raises of 2% over 4 years. OPEIU Local 153 business rep Nick Gallipo.
What we are demanding is either an affordable health care vehicle, or we would like a wage increase that allows the members to pay the rates that the university is demanding. We want to be able to have a plan that we can afford, or a wage increase that allows us to be able to pay for the plan that the university is demanding.
Since the contract expired in 2012, the university has been paying 2012 health insurance premium rates. For a year, OPEIU has been making up the difference for its members at Long Island University. Even two federal mediators have so far not been able to get to a fair resolution for these workers, and Gallipo says that the university's tactics are backfiring.
The conditions that the employer has placed the workers under is actually creating a movement at LIU. We're getting lots of support from faculty, students, and other unions. And I believe that the draconian and cynical tactics that the university is employing is actually backfiring, and we're hoping to create a generational movement here.
AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka says President Obama's immigration executive action is an an important step toward rational and humane enforcement of immigration law. Trumka says by extending relief and work authorization to 4 million people, the Obama administration will help prevent unscrupulous employers from using unprotected workers to drive down wages and conditions for all workers in the U.S. The AFL-CIO says it's concerned, though, about Obama's concession to corporate demands for greater access to temporary visas. The Labor Federation says that will allow continued wage suppression in the tech sector. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The Union Edge Talk Radio Show. Often robust, but always respectful. Standing up for your working family.
Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. My name is Angela Bachman, and I'm here with Brittany Sheets on this lovely afternoon.
Hey, everyone.
I'm wishing we had lots of snow, but I might be the only one in Pittsburgh.
Oh, no, I am. I agree. I am so disappointed. I was having a really rough day yesterday, and my lovely boyfriend texted me probably sometime around 8:30. He's like, hey, I got something to make your day better. I'm like, oh, what? He's like, look outside. And I look outside, and there's white stuff on the ground. I'm like, oh, thank God. I was so excited. I mean, it's not very much. It was barely a dusting. But hey, it was just enough that I was excited.
It actually stayed. We had got a dusting, not just a flurry. So it's good.
Yes.
But
we're making progress.
Buck Gino has lots of snow in Michigan, where he is. Welcome back, Buck.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, ladies. And for sure, I'd be more than glad to share with you some of the snow we got here.
Yeah, send some of that our way.
Well, actually, it's a pretty nice day today. They say it's going to get it right around freezing. The sun's out. It's rather pretty, if you like that type of thing. And the bad side is that we're looking at rain and freezing rain, and that would only make it more difficult. So make sure you get around the neighborhood and help the senior citizens get the snow off their roof.
Oh, that's a great idea.
But anyway, like I said, it's a very, very pretty day. I think you'd enjoy it.
I agree. It sounds like really nice. I mean, it's kind of cloudy and overcast here, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we don't have too many windows in the studio. It's hard to say, but anyway.
You're gonna have to get the boss. You're gonna have to get the boss one of these days and let you guys make a road trip over here. Check out how it goes here.
I know, right? We're gonna have to. We'll put on our parkas that we wear in the studio because it's so cold sometimes, and we'll get used for them in the proper use outside.
Oh, you've been listening to that story he tells about Alpina. It's not always that way.
Oh, okay, good. That's good to know. So anyway, we wanted to talk about some news. What do you got for us, Buck?
Well, I think there's a lot of things going around. I noticed the big topic this morning at the coffee shops and everything, depending on what side you're. As everybody knows by now, the president basically set out his agenda for immigration via the executive order, which means he, as the president, is going to sign into law some provisions as far as undocumented workers. And by some accounts, there's probably somewhere between, and I think it's a lot more, probably between 5 or 6 million people that are basically living in the shadows here, hiding, and basically have had kids here that are basically citizens because they're born here, that are out there working and basically being taken advantage of by employers paying them, you know, low wages and no benefits and not even paying taxes. Or they're not even paying taxes. So what the president has done is decided that he's going to make all that go away, that they can come out of the shadows, they can get their citizenship if they don't have a criminal record or if they don't, if everything's up to snuff, which in turn has incited the other side. You can look at there was even a senator from Oklahoma, Coburn, who was insinuating that there may be violence over this and how an outrage it was. And if you watch Fox News, you'd think the same thing. But all in all, what it does, it just gives those people a pathway to citizenship. They can come out of the shadows. They can then go to work and pay taxes and be citizens. And all presidents have done it since Reagan. George W. Bush did. So, like I said, they're making a big deal out of nothing. But what it does is it helps a great number of people, especially children. You know, one of the things that gets lost in this immigration thing, and along with you listen to the Republicans sometimes talk about social programs that help the poor, the needy, the children, and all this other. And look at what happened here just recently when all the children were coming across the border and there was this big uproar. Sometimes what the Republicans do, I would say all the time, they forget there's blood there. There's a human there. mm-hmm. that they're trying to destroy their life. And that's what I think gets lost sometimes, is that there's a human side of this when we're talking about real people, real children, and things like that.
I agree, and I agree that's a message that often gets kind of swept under the rug with all of this, is the fact that, okay, you're talking about these people coming into the country and our tax dollars help basically them in their existence in the country, and the paint on the table or other sneaky things, and they got this really bad reputation, but you're tagging all these negative views that are said often on things like Fox News and stuff like that to these people, and losing in translation that these are still human beings, and they left their country for a reason. Usually because of very terrible conditions or a terrible way of life or something. And America's foundation was built on immigrants coming to this country for a new life, essentially. A life that they would hope is better than where they were in their current country. So, in a sense, we're kind of going and denying people the basic right of why they even came to this country in the first place, and how this country was built in its foundation. And all these Republicans who were so opposed to this need to sit and take a check about the fact that these are human beings, A. B, they probably have ancestors that at one point came to this country and decided to essentially do what these people are doing, maybe in more of a legal route. At that time, but you know, things have changed over the years. I'm sure many, many moons ago is when their ancestors came, but it still lays back to the fact that their ancestors, in some way, shape, or form, unless they are Native American, came to this country as an immigrant. So,
you hit the nail on the head, Brittany. The only people that I know of for sure that are naturalized people of this country are Native Americans.
Yeah.
The rest of us, or some part of us, came from some other country. And so, like I said, what the bigger fear on this is, and nobody talks about it much. You even hear some of the union people don't say too much about it. But the bigger fear that the Republicans have is that, in the end, when these workers start to align or get into, that'll in the end they'll just make organized labor stronger, because they will migrate toward being covered under a collective bargaining agreement, and getting better wages and better benefits, and just that. That normal course of thing that a person wants to do. So that is yet the bigger fear. And the bigger fear is, and you heard, I think it was just the other day, Michelle Bachmann, she spelled it out best. She's very good at, when she gets off her meds, she spells it so good. She says, look, all you're going to get now is just a bunch of illiterate voters. Now, I argue the point about illiterate, but what they do is they worry about how these people are going to vote in the elections, and that's one of the bigger reasons that they are fighting this fight. It doesn't have anything to do with it. Yes.
And in the way, I see their way of fighting it, because if it's going to damage their current way of life, though we do not agree with their current way of life, and much of America does not benefit from their current way of life, in that same time, if these people come through and they vote against them, then yes, it will knock them out of office. But at the same time, also, if they come and they become naturalized citizens, they're not going to be able to shove them and pay them under the table and disrespect their rights essentially as human beings. And they would have to more so report on these employees and actually pay them legal wages and not just call ICE or something like that whenever it's payday time, just to kind of so they didn't have to pay them and withhold their monies. And, that's basically taking a hit to their pockets, and they don't like that, and they don't take well to that. And we've seen that time and time again on just about any other issue that would affect their pockets and their pocketbooks.
There was a case a few years ago where there was a rather large employer, you can't guess where, but Texas, that basically decided that they were working some of these illegals for a period of time. And what they would do is they would work them for a period of time, and then it would come, and Charles talks about this oftentimes, is when it came time to pay payday, they would just call the government and have them, and get rid of them and get a whole new batch.
And that's exactly where I stole that example from, Charles.
But, it happens, and it happens on a bigger scale. In Michigan, for example, they passed a law here via the workman's comp law that basically gives illegal immigrants no use to the workman's comp. So what that means is if they get hurt on the job, the employer basically has the right to just set them on the sidewalk and leave them.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the very same employers that fight to hire these people, because they know they can, as long as they keep them in the shadows, as long as they can keep them, they can work them, pay them as little as they can, and then also in the end they pay no taxes, And so they put that money in their pocket. So it's due time, and the president is right. He's waited long enough, and you know, as I recall, there was a bill passed out of the Senate with Republicans in it over a year ago. And in his infinite wisdom, Mr. Boehner was basically scared, I think, scared to bring it up in the House. So, like I said, they don't have anybody to blame but themselves. And so, like I said, I think it's due time, and it'll be a process where it won't happen right away, but, you know, starting in the spring, you know, these people will start to get their status to stay in this country as well they should.
And and that's real quick before we go, because we have to take a break, but that's what I think is most funny about this whole thing, is that Congress had a lot of time to come up with their own solution, and they dragged their feet, and they never came up with one. So now Obama kind of said, all right, well, if you're not going to do anything, I am. So it's sort of funny that they just refuse to do anything, and then they kick and scream at whenever anyone does anything. So anyways, on that note, we are going to take a short break, and we will be right back to talk about this some more. That was Buck Gino from Work in Progress Radio, Brittany Sheets, and I'm Angela Bachman. You're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
It's about the work. Work we're proud of. Work that provides the energy that powers America. Work that means our communities are stronger, better, for our families, our neighbors, for everyone. Just like you, members of the United Mine Workers of America are on the job, every day, working hard. It's what we do, and it makes America a better place. The United Mine Workers of America, working families, just like yours.
At risk of losing your home in a foreclosure? We can help. We'll deal with your bank, lower your principal. We'll buy you a pony, give you the ability to fly. We'll let you ride a unicorn. We'll give you a...
If you're facing foreclosure, who should you trust? The HOPE Hotline is a free resource connecting you with HUD-approved housing counseling agencies available 24 hours a day who can give you the information and clarity you need. Call the HOPE Hotline at 888-995-HOPE. That's 888-995-4673. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
Sisters and brothers, are you buried in paperwork? UnionTrack is a software platform that streamlines your administrative work so you can spend less time chasing databases and more time taking care of your members. UnionTrack was created to streamline your day-to-day operations, allowing you to focus on organizing, training, and advocating for working families. More information is available at UnionTrack.com and on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Green light.
Hey, girl.
School zone.
I'm getting hungry.
Car changing lanes.
You want to meet me for pizza?
Stop sign. Intersection clear.
Yeah.
Street.
Pizza sounds good.
Ball in street?
Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Members of the American Postal Workers Union handle more than 165 billion letters and packages a year. That's about 34 million pounds of mail every day. Ever wonder what this costs you as a taxpayer? Millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions? Not a single cent. The United States Postal Service doesn't run on your tax dollars. It's funded solely by stamps and postage. Brought to you by the men and women of the American Postal Workers Union.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Soon enough, it was up to me to be his housekeeper and financial manager, too. When he moved in, I became his cook and even his nurse. But no matter what roles I play, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the roles you play. So to help, we created aarp.org/caregiving, where you can connect with experts and other caregivers. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. My name is Angela Bachman, and I'm here with Brittany Sheets today.
Hello, everyone.
And we also have Buck Gino from Work in Progress Radio. Buck, welcome back.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, ladies.
Always a pleasure to have you.
You know, before we went to break, we were talking about the immigration process and the executive order that the president signed. And if you haven't paid attention, one of the key things that everybody should remember about this is that I was reading a piece this morning, and there's this, and I can't remember his name. Now, that's what happens when you get to be a little elderly, is that you forget. But the fact is, there's this nutcase sheriff. He's out in Arizona. And there was a headline that he was going to sue Obama over his executive order. And also there's been mention of the Republicans, John Boehner and all their group, suing the president over the immigration law. And I want everybody to remember one thing. When you file a lawsuit or whenever you do litigation, there's always attorneys involved. And the bigger question that everybody should ask their representative, or even in some cases ask that sheriff out there in Arizona, who's paying? Who's paying for those lawyers to file this lawsuit, to work the case, to take it through the action?
That's true.
Bottom line is they can give you all the rhetoric that they want, this fund, that fund. In the end, it's our taxpayers, our tax dollars that are going to pay for those attorneys. And I want everybody to know right now, doing the math, I'm sitting here doing the math and regarding some of these attorneys and what they get for fees. I want you to know that they get right around $14.22 a minute.
Wow.
So...
Wait, weren't we just like a couple minutes ago talking about trying to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour? And you're saying these lawyers make almost $15 a minute?
$15 a minute. And mm-hmm. That's what everybody should, when you talk to your representative or send them an email, you know, it took me about three times before my guy would finally come up, oh, yeah, well, okay, it comes out of this fund, and yeah, okay, it's taxpayer dollars. So, no matter what all this does, and I'm sure this sheriff out in Arizona, he's going into his pocket to file this lawsuit. And I guarantee you one thing, for sure, there's none of these lawyers doing it pro bono.
Yeah.
So the whole cost is on the American public. So, and you know, like I said, it's just a... Never have we seen anything like this, you know, in politics or... presidential politics since I've been around. Even, you know, Reagan, I can remember when Reagan passed all these executive orders and, you know, the first Bush did and the second Bush did. And, you know, it's all, and not near as many as our president today. So, like I said, keep that in the back of your mind when you're listening to all this immigration discussion and all this lawsuit talk that what you're paying out of your taxpayers' dollars is roughly $15.22 a minute.
Well, I also see, not to detract from in the immigration conversation, but I seen a headline probably about maybe a half hour ago from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette saying how the House is suing the president over the health care bill. And I'm just like, for real, we're back on
really?
This too.
They're actually doing it? Because I know there was a lot of rhetoric about that happening, but is it actually going to happen?
The headline said they were suing him. I did not read the article, I will say that. But at the same time, even just the thought of it, why is it that you are so cranky and unhappy about something that is actually positive for people that you disguise in a different name in your own state because of people like it and it's a success, that you want to have it repealed and you don't, basically, you're anti-people, in my opinion. And it's just, why are you wasting your time and my tax dollars that I work hard for and I give to you to do the responsible thing with for taking care of myself and making decisions on my behalf to sue the freaking president for something that is so positive for so many people?
Well, you know, with the Affordable Care Act, it's been the same thing. It's been this argument of we can't do this, we can't do that, and we're going to sue this, we're going to sue. Through all the rhetoric, remember when it all started, remember when the congressmen were coming out of there after the vote and people were spitting at them and, you know, there were shots fired. Our congressman here in in the UP, Bart Stupak, mm-hmm. you know, they pretty much scared him right out of the... ever thinking about running. You know, there were shots fired on both sides. And so that kind of thing, it caused a lot of tension. But the fact of the matter is, not to one of that time, from then until now, as one Republican came up and said, here's my plan. Here's what I see that is going to give health care to all Americans. Not once. Not once have they ever said, here's our plan.
Because they don't have one. Their plan is no. No, you can't. No, we won't. No.
Yes, correct.
You know, there was a guy who was, he was a little crass, I guess, from Florida. He was, I believe he's a Democrat. He said, you know, the Republicans' idea of health care was basically get sick, and if you do get sick, die quickly.
Wow.
And, you know, you think about it.
That's harsh.
Think about it. And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, Brittany and Angela, is the fact that they are human people, real people that are affected by all this, these decisions, people's lives. And especially, I mean, you look in Michigan, you know, we have 80,000 children in this state that are homeless. And so whenever we're talking about social programs or we're talking about helping the underprivileged, those are real people. Same with immigration, same with health care. Mm-hmm. That's what gets lost in the cheap labor conservative discussion.
Yeah, to throw out a stat about the children, I actually, in watching Good Morning America the other day, I was just getting ready in the morning at my house, and they were interviewing a homeless girl who's 16, and she and her mother live in a homeless shelter, and she's lived there for about 4 years now, and about how she's admitted she's losing her childhood, trying to, like, make a life for herself, and trying to, like, get a job, and trying to, like, find a place to live, and they're stuck in the homeless shelter where they have nothing, and other than the fact that they're thankful they have a roof over their head and some food to eat. And the stat they threw out was that 1 in 30 children are homeless.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, it just struck a chord with me because I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? The stat that they threw out was 1 in 30 children are homeless.
Yeah, and
amazing. That's sad.
It's amazing. It is sad. And the fact of the matter is like here we are as supposed to be responsible adults. Now, you go on some of these, you know, I don't know if you call them blogs, but these discussions. I know up here we have the Grand Rapids Press, and it's called MLive. You can get on there. You can give a password and a fictitious name. You don't have to. Nobody has to know who you are. And you can come and get on there and make all these comments. And it would scare you to death to see some of these comments about how they say what should happen to these children and what should happen to these parents. And you know what I mean? It's amazing. And that, like I said, that's the thing that bothers me the most is the mentality that they have completely forgot that we are real people, we are real children. And for sure, it's not the children's fault, whatever. If they're homeless or if they're impoverished or whatever, it surely is not their fault.
I agree. And you know what? We've got about 1 minute left real quick. Any last words?
No, just keep that in mind. Whenever they're talking about suing the president or going after him for the Affordable Care Act, remember that figure, $15.22 a minute. That's what those lawyers are getting, and that's what you're paying out of your tax dollars.
Thanks for joining us today, Buck. That's a great stat. And you know what, people? Remember it, because that's your tax dollars being used for this, and you're not getting a say in it. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman and Buck Gino, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Food bins to collect food for Walmart workers have reappeared as we head toward Black Friday. A photo from a Walmart store in Oklahoma shared on social media shows a food bin to collect food donations for the store's workers. Indiana Walmart workers say bake sales are being organized at a store there to encourage workers to contribute to help fellow workers put food on their tables. This spectacle of food drives for Walmart workers inside Walmart stores speaks louder than any words could about the morality and social justice, or lack of it, in working for the world's largest retailer owned by a family of billionaires and still not being able to buy enough food. The report from Oxfam America says millions of Americans are struggling to provide enough food due to persistent low wages. Americans for Tax Fairness says Walmart's low wages are costing taxpayers $6.2 billion a year in public assistance for Walmart workers. Just one member of the ultra-rich Walton family that owns Walmart could pay that entire $6.2 billion tab this year and still have more than $33 billion left over. Long Island University is playing hardball with 225 clerical workers represented by OPEIU Local 153. The university wants them to agree to greater health insurance costs while only offering raises of 2% over 4 years. OPEIU Local 153 business rep Nick Gallipo.
What we are demanding is either an affordable health care vehicle, or we would like a wage increase that allows the members to pay the rates that the university is demanding. We want to be able to have a plan that we can afford, or a wage increase that allows us to be able to pay for the plan that the university is demanding.
Since the contract expired in 2012, the university has been paying 2012 health insurance premium rates. For a year, OPEIU has been making up the difference for its members at Long Island University. Even two federal mediators have so far not been able to get to a fair resolution for these workers, and Gallupo says that the university's tactics are backfiring.
The conditions that the employer has placed the workers under is actually creating a movement at LIU. We're getting lots of support from faculty, students, and other unions. And I believe that the draconian and cynical tactics that the university is employing is actually backfiring, and we're hoping to create a generational movement here.
AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka says President Obama's immigration executive action is an important step toward rational and humane enforcement of immigration law. Trumka says by extending relief and work authorization to 4 million people, the Obama administration will help prevent unscrupulous employers from using unprotected workers to drive down wages and conditions for all workers in the U.S. The AFL-CIO says it's concerned, though, about Obama's concession to corporate demands for greater access to temporary visas. The Labor Federation says that will allow continued wage suppression in the tech sector.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.